Morning. Today's daf in Shabbos Nun Beis. We are on the very top of Nun Beis Amud Aleph. We are starting with the words Tana de Bei Menashia. We opened up yesterday the fifth parak of the Masechta, and we're discussing the animals and the requirement of Shvisas Behemto. We know in the Torah there are a number of mitzvahs regarding Shabbos in terms of not only the requirement that the person himself observe the Shabbos, but his family observe the Shabbos, his Eved Kenani, Shifra Kenanis observe Shabbos, and on top of that also, that his Behemah observe Shabbos as well. He has to ensure that he does not do anything that would be a violation of Shabbos vis-a-vis his animals. An animal not allowed to carry on Shabbos. We discussed more of this in the introduction yesterday when we opened up the fifth parak. In the course of doing so, that means to say that an animal can't carry on Shabbos. You can't put something on the animal that would thereby have the animal violate the malacha of hotzah. Anything that's on the animal that is a burden is a masui, and therefore would be a malacha of hotzah. On the other hand, if what you're putting on the animal is there to protect the animal, to serve the animal, so that is shmira, and that would be okay. The Mishnah yesterday went into the details of what is considered various leashes, collars, harnesses that would serve a shmira for various animals. The Mishnah went into detail. As I pointed out yesterday, we who are not of an agrarian culture, so for us, it's going to be hard to picture and envision most of the items that are described over here. We understand collars and general leashes, but at least for me, so hard to really understand what exactly these harnesses are that are being described in the Mishnah. But nevertheless, we get the basic idea that if anything is not is serving as a shmira for the animal, so then it's a masui, and therefore it's going to be, one would be in violation of Shvisas Behemto, not allowing your animal to rest on Shabbos. The big question that we start off with yesterday that we're going to continue into today is basically going to be the following question. Let's say you put something on the animal which is more shmira than the animal necessitates. So that means to say that you're putting an item on the animal that's certainly serving as shmira, but it's too much. The animal doesn't need this much. We'll discuss later this morning. Let's say, for example, a cow. Cow doesn't need a harness. Cow doesn't need a leash. Cow doesn't need a collar. Cows are very domicile animals. And so cows need very little in terms of something there to serve and protect the animal. But we'll get to the cow a little bit later on. But anyway, we discussed yesterday, so various animals, let's say, for example, the horse and the mule and the donkey. Sorry, the horse, the mule, the camel, the donkey. So for those animals, really all you need is some sort of a harness. The Gemara describes it as an afsar. So let's say you put something on the animal that's provides more shmira. As an example, we discussed yesterday. So let's say you put a chotem. A chotem is some sort of nose ring, which is going to help guide the animal. A nose ring is generally speaking for a seriously wild animal, right? We described yesterday the nose ring goes on. This wild animal called the Na'aka that we learned in the Mishnah yesterday, right? Dromil, says Rashi. Anyway, so and you put this nose ring on an animal that doesn't need a nose ring, and it's shmira yisera, it's extra shmira. So is that can we just simply file that under shmira even though it's more than I need? Or no, once it's a shmira yisera, so that really falls under the category of now a masui. And as we learned yesterday, this was a major debate. And we ended up concluding yesterday, it was a debate amongst the Tanaim. Look at the bottom of the previous Amud, Anun Alpha Amud Beis at the bottom. So you see the Tanakam and Rabbi Hananya are arguing over exactly this issue. The Tanakam is of the opinion that if it's shmira yisera, that can't file under the category of shmira, and therefore that is a masui. On the other hand, Hananya is meiko. As long as it's shmira, even though shmir yaseira, so that would be fine. That would be sufficient. And the Gemara concluded yesterday in the name of Shmuel that the halacha is like Hananya. We are now on the top of Nun Beis Amud Aleph after we just went through a quick anecdotal story of two Marayim riding on a donkey, one cut off the other. One was a Tom, the other one was a Rebbe, and the Tom had cut off his Rebbe, and he tried to assuage his Rebbe. Okay. But we are now on the very top, four lines from the top of Nun Beis Amud Aleph, Tanna de Beis Menashe. So the Gemara now quotes the following braisa. So if I have a goat, and what I did is I made grooves in the horns of the goat. And so now the harnesses are attached to the groove. So that animal is good, meaning that you can go ahead and lead the animal with the harnesses that are cut between the grooves. Why do I need it to connect it to its horn? So if you take a look at the top Rashi three lines down, Yosef Bavstar, he writes, Im tachlo bechakikas karen. So you take the harness and you insert it into the grooves that you made in the horn. Aval bikshira ba'amalo. But if you just tied it to the goat, that Rashi says it's no good. Dilma shafa mireshe. Because what may end up happening is that the goat's going to slip out of it. Mitoch shirosha dak, the head of the goat is very thin. And what's going to happen is that really easily it's going to slip out of its harness. Which leads us now to another concern. And that is that because this halter is going to fall off really easily from the goat, you're going to end up having to pick it up and carry it for Amos and Rosh Hashanah. So what we're really introducing in this next piece of Gemara over here is another concern. Aside from the fact that there's an issue of Shlisas Behemto, there's also concern that when you put on something that is going to fall off really easily, so you may end up picking, you're going to have to pick it up and carry, and you're going to carry it for Amos and Rosh Hashanah. We're going to hear a lot more of this idea in the sixth parak of the Masechta coming up when it comes to clothing, loose clothing or loose jewelry that's worn by women. But in the meantime, however, this obviously poses a concern for the goat and the halter. So by Rav Yosef Tachalov Bizikna Mahu. Okay, so Rav Yosef says, so I'm wondering now. Let's say I don't tie it into the horns of the goat, which would certainly secure it, and that would be fine. But let's say you tied it into the beard of the goat. On the one hand, in order for the goat to extract himself from this harness, he's going to have to detach some beard hairs, and that's going to be really painful, and the goat's not going to want to do that. And so, therefore, we're not worried that's going to fall off. Or the other consideration, says the Gemara, is that, look, again, the head of the goat is really thin, and he could just simply slip right out of the harness. Harness is going to fall to the ground, and you're going to end up picking it up and carrying it for Amos and Rosh Hashanah. Take the Gemara leaves this question unresolved. Tanan Hasam. We learn together the following. This is a Mishnah coming up in a couple days from now, and this is talking about a cow. V'lobar tzushabein karneha. A cow cannot go out with some sort of strip of whatever material it is between its horns. Now, it's wearing a strip between its horns. Now, as we already just pointed out moments earlier, when it comes to the cow, cow is an extraordinarily domicile animal. Cow doesn't really need any kind of harnessing. Doesn't need a leash, doesn't need a collar. It's pretty tame. And so, meanwhile, there is a discussion, debate, and we're going to see this in a couple days from now, whether or not a cow can go out with suah shebein karneha. It had some sort of strip of material, fabric, that was situated between its horns. Now, in this Mishnah, so there is a subsequent discussion, debate amongst the Amoraim. Amar v'yirmi abarba pligi bar Rav Shmuel. So Rav Shmuel debate the following. Chadamar ben lanoi ben l'shamer, asur. So one of these two, now right now at this juncture of the Gemara, we don't know who takes which position. We're going to seek to clarify that in just a moment. One is of the opinion that if we put on the strip of wool between the horns of the cow, it's going to be prohibited, and it doesn't matter whether it's nor or whether it's shmira. It could be that it's decorative, or it could be there to serve and protect the animal. Now, there to serve and protecting the animal, how so? Because if I want the cow to go anywhere, what I could do, assuming that this strip is fashioned tightly between the horns, is that I could just simply grab the strip and move the cow in the direction that I want to. And so this could be shmira, meaning it'll help me herd the cow. So according to one opinion, bein lanoi bein l'shmira, it's going to be usher. Now, lanoi we understand, meaning that it's decorative, but the cow certainly doesn't need it. And so this would be a masui for the cow, and that would be usher. What about for shmira? What would be the problem? So Rashi points out over here, the problem would be is that this is excessive for the cow. The cow doesn't need this much. And so the who's ever taking this position, be it Rav or be it Shmuel, is taking the position that because this is excessive for the cow, even if it's for Shmira. So in the Tirasa Yasera, excessive Shmir would be considered a Masuri, and therefore it'd be prohibited. V'chan amar, l'noi asur l'shamer mutter. And the other position is no. If it's for decorative purposes, so that certainly would be a Masuri, and that would be prohibited. But if it's for Shmira, but if you're just looking to protect the animal, even though it is excessive, but who's ever taking this position is of the opinion that for Shmira purposes, it would be okay, even though it's excessive, but you could still file that under the category of Shmira. Amar Rav Yosef decided to Shmuel Adam Lanoi Asur L'Shamer Mutter. So now the Gemara is going to try to align. Rav Yosef says, I think we could suggest that according to the position of Shmuel, he's the one who says that if the strip of wool is decorative, that's prohibited. If it's for Shmira, then it's going to be permitted. How can we say that? Amar Rav Huna Barchiya Amar Shmuel Lachi Kechananya. Because we go back to what we said at the end of yesterday's daf. We know that Shmuel follows the position of Chananya. And since Chananya is of the opinion that Shmira is not considered a Masui, but rather it's considered Shmira. So therefore, we see that Shmuel sides with Chananya. And therefore, over here, when I'm putting the strip of wool between the horns of the animal, between the horns of the cow, in order so that it be protected, even though it's more protection than necessary, but still, Shmuel will be of the opinion that we could call that Shmira, and therefore it'd be fine. So Amalei Abai Adar Rabbi Tesayin to Shmuel, Amar Ben Lanoi Ben Lashamar Aser. Abai says, look, I can argue that Shmuel over here would say that it doesn't matter if it's decorative, it doesn't matter if it's Shmira, it's going to be Aser. How would I say that? The Amar Rabbi Yudam Shmuel, because let's go back to another discussion we had in yesterday's daf. Remember where Rabbi Yehuda Mishmuel said, Machlifun Fnei Rebbe Shal Zuba Zumahu. In our Mishnah, we learned yesterday, the first Mishnah of the Perek. So we gave a listing of what kind of collars, harnesses, nose rings are going to be used for which kinds of animals. And so our Mishnah clearly was specific. And what was done in front of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi is we flipped it around, meaning that they basically played around with the animal and the various instruments. And one of the suggestions that was made in front of Rebbe is, go back to yesterday's daf, right? It is just about 6-7 lines after the Gemara begins. I'm Rabbi Yehuda Mishmuel, Machlif Lefnei Rebbe, Shel Zuba Zumahu. What happens if we put one on the other? Meaning, Ne'ka be'afsar lo tibalach kevin de'lo mitra be'am. Just going back to yesterday's daf, I'm reviewing. So putting the neck on the afsar, so that's not even going to be a question. Again, this naka is this really wild animal. A harness is certainly insufficient. So that's going to be a masu. Ki tibalach gamal bechotam. Let's say what we do is we take the camel and we hook it up with a nose ring, which is excessive. My. And that was the Gemara's question yesterday. It came to Sagile Ba'afsar Masuihu. Well, you only need a harness for the camel. You don't need the nose ring. And that's excessive and therefore it's a burden. That was the question that was posed to Rebbe. And the Gemara continued yesterday. Oh, Dilma Nitiras Yerser Lormina Masuihu. Or maybe no. Maybe because it's an extra Shmira, so therefore it still falls under Shmira, and it's not going to be a burden. That was the question, and let's take a look now at the answer that we offered yesterday's daf. I'm just keeping reading from yesterday's daf. Amar l'fan of Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yossi kach amar Abba. So Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yossi says, look, this is what my father said. He's quoting Rabbi Yossi. Arba behemos yotze ba'afsar, four animals go out in a harness. Hasus va'pred va'gamal va'chamur. The horse, the mule, the camel, the donkey, so they go out with an afsar. And presumably what he means by that is you can't put anything harder on that animal. And that's exactly what the Gemara suggested yesterday. Lemute, my love, lemute, gamal v'chotam. You can't take the camel and put a nose ring on the camel because that's excessive. And therefore that would not be considered a shmir, but rather that would be considered a masui. This is what we suggested in yesterday's daf. Now, if you remember, I'm leaving out from yesterday's discussion four important words of the Gemara, which is that the Gemara deflected. The Gemara didn't think that the proof was a good proof. In just a moment, I'm going to come back to those four words. So if you can, keep your place over there from yesterday's daf. We're going to come right back to it. So now what Rav Yosef, let's go back now to our Gemara. What Abaye now is saying to Rav Yosef is Adarabba, meaning after having reviewed yesterday's Gemara, let's go back now to our discussion. What does Shmuel hold? What would Shmuel hold regarding this strip of wool between the horns of the cow? So the Gemara says, "Testayim deShmuel hu da'amar ben Lanoi ben Lashamar Aser da'amar Rabbi Yehuda Mishmuel." I'm just reviewing the lines again in our Gemara. We're now in our Gemara Nun Beis Amud Aleph. Machlifim lefnei Rabbi Shal Zubazu Mahu. So Amar Lafan of Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi Kachamar Abba Dal Behemoth Yosef Baf Sarsus Perva Gamal Vachamor Lavla Muti Gamal Bechotam. So again, a verbatim review of what we saw in yesterday's daf. And the Gemara now says, if this is correct analysis, what comes out now is that you can't put the nose ring on the camel. This is what Rebbe's response was. You can't put the nose ring on the camel because that's excessive. And because it's excessive, therefore it's a masui. It's not a shmira. And therefore it would be considered carrying. And now if we take this idea and translate it back to the cow, so this strip of wool between the horns of the cow, that's excessive, and therefore it'd be considered a burden. Okay. Now, again, if I were to go back to yesterday's daf, you'll remember that yesterday's daf, the Gemara deflected the proof. So hold that thought for just a moment, because we're going to come back to that. And the Gemara says, Sami Hami Kamiha. So the Gemara says, look, I know you have that back and forth from yesterday's daf, but the Gemara says, but ignore that one, and rather go with the one that we quoted, that Rav Yosef quoted, notably, that Shmuel Paskin like Hananya, which means that even though it's extra Shmira, it still is considered a Shmira. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. My chas is demas mishami kameha, samihami kameha. The Gemara says, look, we have conflicting viewpoints within Shmuel. Whether he holds that Shmira Yaseira is considered Shmira, or whether he holds that Shmira Yaseira is considered a Masui. So you have conflicting reports within Shmuel. How do you know that your report of Shmuel is any more authoritative than my report of Shmuel? So the Gemara says, now the gears over here, we have parentheses over here. Perhaps it should be taken out on the side, the suggestion of my Havi'Allah. Either way, the Gemara basically is answering the question to, how do I know that we should accept one tradition transmission of Shmuel over another? So the Gemara says, Rav Chiya Bar Ashi, I'm going right after the parentheses, Amar Rav, Ben Lanoi, Ben Lashamer, Asur, Rav Chiya Bar Av, and Amar Shmuel, Lanoi, Asur, Lashamer, Mutter. Oh, so the Gemara says, because we have a tradition. And within this tradition, clearly it's presented that Shmuel's of the opinion that when you have the cow and you have the strip between the horns of the cow, because it's there to serve to protect the animal, or let's say it better, if it's there to serve and protect the animal, so that's called a Shmira, and therefore it's going to be Mutter. Oh, so you see now that that we saw in the bottom of the previous Amud, where Shmuel Pasim like Hananya, that in fact is authoritative viewpoint of Shmuel, and Shmuel's of the opinion that a Shmira Yisera is in fact considered a Shmira. Now with all that stated, so then we can just fill in the blank, and when I say we, I mean, really mean Rashi. So if that's true, so what are we going to do now with the other transmission of Shmuel, where he quoted Rebbe and Rebbe quoted Rebbe Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, and Rebbe Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, quoting his father, said that only these four animals go out with an afsar, and the implication of that would be is that you can't take the camel and put a nose ring in it because it's excessive, and therefore it's a burden. What are you going to do with all that? So what you'll do with that is what we did yesterday. Now, if you go back to yesterday's daf, you'll remember, and I'm just going to read the four words of the Gemara right where we left off. And the Gemara says, lo, the Gemara here doesn't do it. The Gemara is just assuming that we remember back to yesterday's daf. The Gemara says, lo, lemute neka ba'afsar. So the Gemara says, no. The only point that Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Yossi was making is that to take this naka, this wild animal, and to just put a harness on it, that's no good. That's inadequate. And that's the only point that he was making. But to put extra shmira on, that would be okay. All right, fine. So the Gemara therefore has now concluded that when it comes to a cow, and you're putting some sort of instrument on the cow, some sort of, in this case, it's just a simple ribbon between the horns, and you're doing so for Shmira, and even though it's excessive, the Gemara has now concluded that according to Shmuel, it would be okay. It would be still considered a Shmira. Meisre, the Gemara now is going to challenge based on a Mishnah. And the Mishnah over here is in Para, and it refers to the Paraduma. Now, when it comes to the Paraduma, the rule is really simple. And in fact, you can just look ahead in the Gemara one line. And the Torah says very clearly, when introducing us to the halachas of a Paraduma, asher lo Allah alaha o. A burden cannot go on to the Paraduma. If the burden were to go on to the Paraduma, it would be disqualified as a Paraduma. And the Mishnayos and Para go through exactly what would be considered an o, a yoke. In other words, the Torah gives the example of a yoke, but any burden that's put onto the Paraduma would qualify as a posel, it would disqualify the Paraduma. And the Mishnah there in Parah, Kasher Bala ben Moserik Shira. Let's say with the Paraduma, they put a halter on the Paraduma, so that's not considered a burden, it would be Kasher. Now the Gemara says, Isa Kedacha Masuihu. Now the Gemara says, now if you think that that's the Masuihu, Asher Lo Ala Ol Am Rechmana. Well, then obviously the problem is obvious. And that would be that would qualify as a burden. And that would disqualify the Paraduma. Amar Abai, so the Gemara now is going to give three short, punctuated answers to this question. Amar Abai, b'malicha me'ir le'ir. The Gemara says, well, maybe the Mishnah in Parah is describing a scenario in which you're walking this Paraduma from one city to another city. Because you're walking it from one city to another city, and clearly you have to give it direction of where it needs to go, so therefore, under those circumstances, the harness is not serving as a burden to the cow, but rather it's there for the serving and the protecting of the cow. So that's one possibility. So it is, but it's really circumstantial. It's not a fundamental answer. Rabbi Amashani Parah Didameha Yikarin. Rabbi says, no, when it comes to the Paraduma, look, we know how expensive the Paraduma is. Remember the Gemara Kedushin. Dama ben Esina had a Paraduma born in his flock, and he was selling it to the Chachamim. And he knows I can collect whatever amount I want for it. It is an extraordinarily pricey commodity. And so therefore the Gemara says that when it comes to this, which is of such a high price, so you're going to want to attach a harness to it because you do not want to lose your investment. Under those circumstances, that's called Shemira. It's a more fundamental answer. And Ravina Amar B'moredes. Ravina says that this particular Paraduma seems to be very rebellious. And we just simply can't seem to tame this cow, which in of itself it sounds like an ukimta, and it sounds like a very strange ukimta because we're talking about a cow. But okay, but I guess the cow got the fact that it's a paraduma get to its head. Whatever the case is that it sounds like an ukimta. The cow over here is a rebellious cow, and under those circumstances, the harness now is going to qualify as a shomer and not as a masui. What we have now in the Gemara concluded the Gemara's discussion regarding Shmir Yisera. So the summary is very simple, that when it comes to a Shmir Yisera, where I am putting something on the animal that is more than what the animal needs for its protection, to serve the animal, so is that going to be considered a Shmira, or is that going to be considered a Masui? So a major debate. A debate amongst the Tanaim, a debate amongst the Amoraim. Rav Shmuel debate this issue as well. Rav says that Shmir Yisera, the way we just lined it up, Rav says that a Shmir Yisera is not going to be considered a Shmira, but rather going to be considered a Masui. Therefore, Rav prohibited the putting of the strip between the horns of the cow, because that's Shmir Yisera, and therefore it's a Masui. Shmuel's of the opinion that Shmir Yisera, like Hananya, is in fact going to be considered a Shmira, and therefore, even though it's excessive, it can go on an animal. That has been the conclusion of the Gemara. In terms of the halacha, so it gets a little bit tricky. Meaning over here, machlok is Rav and Shmuel. Normally, where do we side? Between Rav and Shmuel. So when it comes to Yisra Heter, so we go like Rav, which means that we would be machmir. That sounds like the conclusion we should head towards. Okay. Hasos b'shir. Okay, we're talking now about some sort of collar. The word shir usually is describing some sort of chain collar, but basically we're talking about some sort of collar. And when it comes to the horse, so the horse can go out now with this collar on it. So my yotze, my nimshachim. But if you go back to the Mishnah that we saw yesterday, the wording of the Mishnah is a little bit strange. Look back at the Mishnah yesterday. The Mishnah, sus b'shir v'chol bale asher. Now anything that goes out with this collar, yotze b'shir v'nimshachim b'shir. So the wording of the Mishnah is, it goes out with this collar, and it's pulled with this collar. It's a strange lashon. And the Gemara's question is very simple. My yotze, my nimshachim. So can we try to get a little bit better clarity on what exactly it means, yotze b'shir, nimshachim b'shir? So Amar Rav Huna. So what the Gemara now is going to propose is two basic answers. Number one, Rav Huna. O yotze kruchin, o nimshachim. So one suggestion of Rav, which is Rav Huna's suggestion, is that in terms of how the animal could wear the collar, it could wear the collar in one of two ways. Either karuch. Karuch literally means wrapped around. So that means to say that this collar is wrapped around the neck of the animal. And if you take a look at Rashi over here, I'm reading. Rashi writes, Ritzua saviv tzavaran. So this this collar is wrapped around the neck of the animal. So even though now, as collars go, there's nowhere for you to grab and hold on to. But nevertheless, because the animals typically go out with a collar wrapped around the neck, so the way Rashi describes it, it's the general orech, this is the way that it goes out, and therefore, it is not considered caring for the animal. That is Rav Huna's understanding of these collared animals. And Shmuel says, no. Yotzin nimshachin, ve'en yotzim kruchim. In terms of how to understand the Mishnah, there's only one acceptable way that this animal can wear the collar on Shabbos, and that's only if the collar also has part of it in which you can hold and grab onto. Meaning that as long as there's extensions coming off the collar where I can grab it and lead the animal, only under those circumstances can the animal wear the collar. But if the only thing the collar is doing is just simply wrapping around the neck of the animal, according to Shmuel's understanding of the Mishnah, that would not be acceptable. That's not considered a shmira. And therefore, the animal cannot go with it out with that on Shabbos. Now, Bimas Nisantana, now in a Braisa, the Gemara quotes, Yotzin Kruchin Limashech. So the Braisa over here supports the position of Shmuel, that the only way that it can go out is if there's Meshicha, if there is a part of the collar that's extending where I can actually pull on that part that goes out. And also what we get from this Braisa is a way to read the Mishnah according to Shmuel. Meaning, go back to the Mishnah, where the Mishnah writes, V'chol Balei Hashir Yotzin Bishir, V'nimshachin Bishir. So now the correct way to read the Mishnah, according to the Braisa, is that it goes out with a collar, but only when it can be pulled by the collar. Which means to say that there is material of the collar that extends, and it doesn't just simply wrap around the neck, so I can pull on it. Then and only then is it judged as a shomer, and then and only then can I use it on, can the animal wear it on Shabbos. I'm Rav Yosef Chazin Luhula Igla Debei, Rav Huna Yosef Bavser and Kurchim B'Shabbos. And so the Gemara now, we have a debate. We just presented a debate in the Gemara. Whether or not the collar has to be fully, can the collar be fully wrapped around the neck of the animal? Or does it have to be some sort of loose material extending from this collar? And the Gemara now tells us reports of various Amoraim. Rav Yosef testifies that he saw the house of Rav Huna, Yotzim Ba'afsareim Kruchim B'Shabbos. That their afsarim, now the afsar is the halter, but basically another form of a collar, and it was totally wrapped around the animal on Shabbos, and they felt that that was fine. Meaning that they obviously are siding with the sheet of Rav Huna, which of course makes sense because this is Bay Rav Huna, the household of Rav Huna, so it stands to reason that they're going to be following the sheet of Rav Huna. But it could be, I mean, if we could just talk out loud for a moment, it could be that Rav Huna was espousing such a viewpoint in the Beis Medrash, but he didn't necessarily follow that viewpoint. Maybe he was being more, maybe he personally was going to be more machmir, and Rav Yosef now is testifying, no, he wasn't personally machmir. Meaning, he espoused that viewpoint, and they followed that viewpoint in his household. Ki asa Rav Dimi Amar Rabbi Chanina Mul Yosho Beis Rebbe. The mules of Beis Rebbe, Yotzus Bafsarein B'Shabbos. So they went out with halters on Shabbos. Now, in of itself, that's not a chiddush. The question is, how did these animals wear the halter on Shabbos? Because as we just saw together, it's a point of controversy. And Ibailahu, that brings us to the next piece of Gemara. Kruchin onim shachin. How were the halters worn on the animal? Was it totally wrapped up around the animal? Or nimshachin, or were there pieces of the material which were hanging down and which you could pull on it? So Tashma kiyasa Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda Amar Rabbi Chanina. So the Gemara says, okay, well, we could say like this. We have a tradition that's given to us by Rabbi Shmuel bar Yehuda in the name of Rabbi Chanina, Mul Yosha Beis Rabbi Yosef Basraim Kruchin B'Shabbos. So, we have this tradition that's given to us that the animals of Rabbi were going out with collars that were, with halters that were totally wrapped around the neck of the animal. So, Amru Rabban Kamei de Rav Asi Had Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda Lo Tzricha Mid Rav Dimi Nafka. Now, the Gemara is going to get into a technical discussion. In that, we have multiple reports about how the animals wore their halters in the house of Rebbe. We just were given a report by Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda. Four lines earlier than that, we were given a report by Rav Dimi. And the Gemara now is just going to get involved in a technical discussion of how many reports do I actually need. Now, the truth of the matter is that if you just review the Gemara that we did together, you'll see Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda was more detailed. He told us exactly how the animals wore the halter. Rav Dimi didn't tell us. But the Gemara tries to argue, the Isak adach Rav Dimi nimshach and kamar mid Rav Yehuda Mashmul nafka. Well, you see, if Rav Dimi, if all Rav Dimi was telling us is that that was nimshachin, that the halters were worn where there was material that where I can pull on the collar, well, the Gemara says we already know that from Rav Yehuda Mashmul. The Amar Rav Yehuda Mashmul, because now we're going to go back to another statement, which we saw already yesterday, which we already reviewed again today, and now we're reviewing today for a second time. Machlif and Hayu Lefnei Rabbi Shal Zubazu Mahu, Amar Lefanu Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi Kachamar Abba, Arba Behemoth Yosef Avsar, Hasutz Vaper Vagamal Vachamor. And as far as we're concerned right now, the part that we're going to focus on is that it's talking about the parrot. The parrot is a mule. And so over here, of the four animals that Rebbe asked Rebbe Yishmael Rav Yossi, one of them was the mule. And Rebbe Yishmael Rav Yossi responded, well, here's what my father said regarding the mule. So what we see now is as follows. We basically have three statements to work with. The first statement is the one that we just went over, where Rebbe asked Rebbe Yishmael Rav Yossi, what kind of harnesses are we talking about? And what kind of animals are we talking about? And Rabbi Shmuel Rav Yossi responded, well, my father said four animals go out with this kind of harness, one of them being a mule. So from there, we already established that the mule can go out with a harness. And we had the second statement to Rav Dimi that testified that in the house of Rebbe, their animals went out with harnesses. And then we had a third statement by Rabbi Shmuel Rav Yehuda that said that the harnesses were worn with a part of the harness extending down to pull on it. So the Gemara says, really, without Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yehuda, this is a very technical discussion, but even without Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yehuda, I think Rav Dimi would have been enough. Because we already know from the back and forth between Rebbe and Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yossi that the animal can go out with a harness. Rav Dimi has to be adding on a point, so presumably what he's adding on is that it has to be that even though it's wrapped around the neck of the animal. Okay, so so that is all the Gemara's conjecture. And the Gemara just simply now is going to dismiss all this conjecture. Amalu Ravasi Yitzrich Luhu. No, all three statements are necessary. The Imad Rav Yehuda Nafka Hava Min Amar Lafan Avelo Kibla Minei Kamashmalan Rav Dimi. Because if all I had was just a back and forth between Rebbe and Rebbe Shmuel Rav Yossi, that was just a back and forth. That doesn't mean that Rebbe held like this. And that's why I need Rav Dimi, because Rav Dimi is there to tell me that Rebbe actually held like this. Now, the either Rav Dimi Hava Min Hanimil Nimshachin. Now, but if all I had was Rav Dimi's statement, I would have said, okay, so it goes out with the harnesses, but the harnesses have to be, there has to be some pull on the harness. There has to be some material that goes down from the harness where I can pull on it. That's what I would have said. Ava Kurchim Lo. But if the harness is fully wrapped around the neck of the animal, that wouldn't be good. So, Kamashlan Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda. And that's why I need the third statement to tell me that even within the Shita of Rebbe, it doesn't have to be where it's Nimshach. Even if it's totally wrapped around the neck of the animal, that would be okay. And that would still be considered Shmira, and the animal can go out like that on Shabbos, and that is in fact what Rebbe did in his household. Okay, so the Gemara just concluded that according to Rebbe, the collars and the harnesses don't have to be Nimshach. It could just simply be wrapped around the neck of the animal, and that would be acceptable. Umazin olam v'tov l'mim kaman. And now, as we get to the end of the Mishnah, so the end of the Mishnah introduces us to, what if I have to tovel these items? So the Mishnah says that mazin olam, that if they, let's say, for example, they are subject to tumas meis, so you do the hazal, the paraduma, even while the collar or the any of these harnesses are attached to the neck of the animal. V'tov l'mim kaman. And on top of that, the Mishnah also says, is that in terms of tvila, let's say these harnesses, these collars, require tvila, so you can do it while still attached to the neck of the animal. And like we pointed out yesterday, basically that means you're going to submerge the neck of the, you're going to submerge the animal itself into a mikvah, quickly, obviously, and then pull it out. But in other words, that's the tvila that would be good for the collar that it's wearing. So a couple of basic issues that the Gemara wants to try to resolve. Number one, as we're at the very bottom in Beis Amidalef, two lines from the bottom, Alamemra Debnei Kabuli Tomanin Vatanan. So the Gemara says, first of all, the starting point of this whole discussion is very strange, because you're telling me that these clothing, so to say, these harnesses that are worn by an animal is Mekabel Toma. And let's assume right now that the collar even has a ring that is attached to it. But the Gemara says, but so what? V'atzanam was unto the Mishnah and Kalim. Tabas adam tamei v'tabas behem v'kalim v'shar kol tabas taharos. Then when you have the ring of a person, meaning a person's wearing a ring on his finger, so that is mekabel toma. So and that is subject to it's susceptible to any type of toma. However, the rings that are worn by animals or the ring that's worn by a kli and any other rings are going to be tahor. Now, tabaos kalim, the ring or the rings of an animal is what we're describing, meaning the shear. These collars that have some sort of ring affixed to it. So that is not a ring that's mekabel toma. Now, why not? So it's an important Rashi over here. Rashi is about 5-6 lines from the bottom of the Amud. Rashi writes, Tamea de tachshit hu, because the ring worn by a person is considered a tachshit. Umi midyan yafinan. And in terms of what is going to be susceptible to toma, so that's learned out from the battle that we went out against Midyan. All the spoils that came back from that battle. De mana bahem tachshitin. And when we came back from the battle, so a number of tachshit and a number of jewelries were actually enumerated in the Torah. Etzada, vitzamid, various utensils. And Rashi points out, akulukai titzchato atem ushvichem. And they require purification. So we see over here that the standard in which something is going to be mekabel toma is that it has to be tachshit. It has to be something that is worn by a human. So any rings that are worn by animals or worn by kli is not going to be mekabel toma. That is, that's the starting point of this whole discussion. And in terms of the ring of a kli, you could see the top Rashi over here on the Amud Beis as we're turning now to the Amud Beis. And he discusses exactly what that looks like. What exactly does that mean? A ring of a kli. See the Rashi on the top for more discussion over there. But anyway, we're going to focus with the animals. And so the question now becomes obvious. If the ring around the collar, if the ring around the collar of an animal is not mekabel toma to begin with, so what is our Mishnah's point altogether? Meaning, obviously, the Mishnah wants to introduce us to a chiddush. I don't have to take it off. I can leave it on the animal and do hazar or tovel in the mikvah. But where does it even become tummy to begin with? The Mishnah Kalim gives us a basic rule that it's not mekabel toma. So if it's not mekabel toma, it doesn't require tefillah. Question's obvious. The Gemara is going to give two answers to this as we are now on the very top of the Beis Amud Beis. I'm Rav Yitzchak Bebaim Minoy Adam Lenoy Behema. Historically, this ring was worn by a person. However, he didn't have a need for it anymore. He didn't want it anymore. And he just simply moved it over to his animal. And he took the ring and he affixed it to the collar of the animal. Oh, okay, fine. So the Gemara says that's one possibility. The other possibility is Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef Amar Hol the Adam Oshech Behemes Behema. So Rav Yosef gives a fundamental answer, and that is as follows. Look, even though, yes, the animal is wearing the ring, but what's the function of the ring? Function of the ring is that it's there so that the owner of the animal can pull on the animal. So since it's serving who? It's serving the animal, it's serving the owner. So the answer is really both. But because it is serving the owner, so therefore we can call this really Kli Adam. It's really the ring of the owner. And the Gemara says, Hol v'ad moshech v'emes behema. Milo tanya, the Gemara says, I'll give you a precedent for this. And makash behema shel mateches, let's say you have some sort of stick, it's made out of metal. Now the reason, of course, is because we know that pshutikli eitz is not mekabel toma. So therefore, but pshutikli mateches is mekabel toma. So you have some sort of a goading stick. It's made out of metal. It's mekabel toma. And that stick is going to be mekabel toma. Matam hol v'ad moshech v'emes behema. Because that's what you use to hit the animal in order to direct the animal in the direction you want. And so, it is clearly, what are we going to call this? The stick that is serving the animal? No. We're calling this a stick that's serving its owner. So over here, when the ring is attached to the collar of the animal, that's really serving the owner, and therefore it's really tabas adam, not tabas behema. So achinami, hov adam moshech mehem. So those are the two answers that are provided in the Gemara regarding how this tabas that's worn by the animal is mekabel toma. We have the Rav Yitzchak answer, which is circumstantial. It's the ring originally was owned by the balabas, but then he just simply took it off and he attached it to the collar of his animal. Or the answer of Rav Yosef, which is a more fundamental answer, and that is because this ring around the collar of the animal is serving its owner, so therefore it's tabas, it qualifies as tabas adam, not tabas behema. The Gemara continues, v'tovlin bimkoman. So now let's go back to the point of the Mishnah, which is that you could tovel it while it's still connected to the neck of the animal. Now the Gemara asked a question which I'm sure everybody here is wondering. Vayika chitzitza. Now if it's tightly wound around the neck of the animal, so the water's not going to get into every place of the ring. And this now would be a chitzitza. And we know that whenever you tovel anything, either a person or a keli, and you tovel into the mikvah, so the water has to make contact with all surface area. And if we're toveling the collar and ring while attached to the animal, so aren't we looking at a chitzitza? There's going to be some blockage. So Amar Rabbi Ami Bishiritchan. So Rabbi Ami gives an answer and he says, well, what you did is you stretched out the ring. So in other words, yes, where the ring was originally put around the collar, attached to the collar. So you're right. If it was put on so tightly, so then it would be a chatzitza. But what you did is you stretched it out so that it would be loose fitting. And there'd be room for water to get into all surface areas of that ring. So, Lema Rabbi Ami Karev Yosef Sfirle. So the Gemara says, okay, here's now what I'm going to suggest. Let's remember the answer that was just given by Rabbi Ami, and let's go back to the previous discussion of the Gemara in terms of how is this not going to be considered Taba'as Behema. So we get two answers. So the Gemara says, I think now what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to line up the answer of Rabbi Ami, which is that you stretch out the ring. And we're going to have to go back and line up Rabbi Ami with Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef gave us a fundamental answer. And the Gemara says, now I'll tell you why we have to do that. The Ika Rav Yitzchak, the Amar Beban Minoy Adam Minoy Behema. Because let's try to take Rabbi Ami's answer of the fact that you stretched it out. And let's try to plug that into the answer that was given by Rabbi Yitzchak. Rav Yitzchak says that originally this ring belonged to a human, a person. And then it was moved over to the animal. Now, before we affixed it to the collar of the animal, let's say what we did is we stretched out. We stretched out the ring. So the Gemara says, if that is in fact so, then we walk into another problem, which is, and the Gemara spells it out, came into Rizka Naval Buhu Maiso Parchla Tome Minayu. You see, now that I actually do a physical manipulation of the ring, when moving it from the person to the animal, so that is what's called in Halacha a Maisa. An action was done on the ring. And it is a basic rule regarding Tumas Kalim that when I take one kli and physically transform it into something else, whatever Tumah it had historically, whatever status it had historically, no longer maintains. Did not, and this is a Mishnah. In order for a kli to be Mekabel Tumah, it has to be a kli. Now, in order to give it the status of a kli, even a machshava would work. And Rashi over here goes through the examples. I'm not going through the Rashi inside. But let's say, for example, it is somewhere in process of being made, and you decide, you know what, this is for me good enough. So with that machshava now, you gave it the status of a kli. But once it has the status of a kli, in order for it to lose its toma, so you have to do an actual maisa. Meaning you can't just simply think to yourself, you know what, I don't need this anymore. Or I'm going to change it. There, a machshava is insufficient. You have to do an actual maisa in order to remove its status of being a kli to be mekabel tumah. So the Gemara says over here, if we took the Rabbi Ami answer and we put it together with Rabbi Yitzchak, we have obviously a problem. The ring taken off the person, and before being put onto the collar of the animal, it was stretched out, so that is a maisa. And that is going to therefore have it lose its status of being a tabas adam, and so therefore it's not going to be mekabel tumah. So the Gemara says this is not such a strong question. So the Gemara says you have to understand there's a maisa, and then of course there's a maisa. Meaning over here, what do we do? What kind of maisa are we doing with this ring? We're doing a constructive maisa with this ring. That's not going to take off the status of kabbalas atumah. The only thing, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that removes the status of Kabbalas HaTumah is when you do a destructive Maisa, not a constructive Maisa. And he says, Maisa letaken la maisa hu detanya, and the Gemara quotes the Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, lo amar shinoi maisa letaken, ela lekako. In terms of shinoi maisa by a ring or by any kli that is going to have it lose its status of being mekabel tuma, it has to be a destructive maisa, not a constructive maisa. And so once we subscribe to the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, so then we could take the Rabbi Ami answer and that we stretch out the ring, and we can even connect it to the answer that was given to Rabbi Yitzchak in the previous discussion. B'masisatan, now in the Braisa gives a totally different answer. That is Michulalin. The ring in question over here is hollow. Now, picture over here would be invaluable, but still, the basic idea is that we're talking about a hollow ring, which thereby undercuts the whole question to begin with. The question to begin with is that how can water get into every surface area of the ring? So now we're saying it's a hollow ring. Now again, I'd love to see a picture of it. I don't see it right now. But the basic idea is that the construction of this ring allows water to get into every area, and so as a result of that, the question doesn't even get off the ground, and thereby we don't even need the previous discussion of the Gemara. Okay, so almost finished with today's daf. The discussion that we just entertained is that even though the Mishnah is giving us a chiddush that you could take this collar and the ring attached to it and tovel it even while it's still connected to the neck of the animal, what about chatzitza? So the Gemara really just gave us two answers to help us out. One, Rabbi Ami's answer is b'shiritchan. So what you did is that you stretch out the ring, thereby allowing water to get into all the areas, or the answer that we just saw together of michulalin, that really the ring in question over here, this is a Bryce's answer. The ring over here is a hollow ring, and just simply by virtue of its construction, water can get into every area. And we finish off today's daf. We're going to get to the Mishnah. We're going to finish off today's daf with two quick discussions. Shal Tamid Echad Migalil Halyonis Rabbi Eliezer. The following Talmud asked a question from Rabbi Elazar. Shabbat Yisheh, Chokim in Tabas Tabas. Now, I heard in Halacha there's some distinction between one ring and another ring. So, Amalo Shemalo Shabbat Elalin Yishabbos. So, Rabbi Elazar now has to try to put the puzzle back together again. There's some halachic difference between one type of ring and another type of ring. So, Rabbi Elazar says, well, maybe you're talking about Shabbos. Dealing in Tuma, Davada Chadihi. Because if we're talking about Tuma, all rings are the same. All rings are going to be Mekabel Tuma. So it has to be vis-a-vis Shabbos. Now, Ulin Yin Tuma Dava Da'achasi, the Gemara says, what's Rabbi Elazar talking about? Now, it's funny, we can easily ask the question because we just learned the Mishnah together in Kalim. But I don't have to challenge anybody else. I can just challenge myself. Had we not just done the Mishnah and Kalim together, would we have remembered so easily the Mishnah and Kalim? And we wouldn't, and would we be asking the question so easily? But anyway, but we just learned the Mishnah and Kalim. Did nan v'hatanam? We learned the Mishnah. Tabas adam tamei. Tabas behema v'kelim b'shar kol hatabas taharos. The ring of a person is mekabel tuma. The ring of an animal, the ring of a kli, is not mekabel tuma. So clearly there are distinctions in tuma when it comes to rings. So ki kamar lei ihu nami de adam. No, it could be that the student was talking about the ring of a person. Meaning within the ring of a person there are no differences. So. The Gemara says, but that also is not true. Vatanya, and here the Gemara quotes a Braisa. Tabashi itkinu lachkor ba masnav ulekasher ba ben ketefav tahora. Let's say you have tabas that was used as, let's say, some sort of buckle. It's used for the buckle of a belt or maybe for suspenders. So that kind of ring is not makabel toma. It's not a tachshit. And Rashi over here, again, I strongly recommend you see the Rashi inside. Rashi over here says that while it's attached to the kli itself, to the clothing itself, so it will be mekabel tuma as part of the clothing. But once detached from the clothing, so it's not mekabel tuma. Remember, we go back to our basic rule. The only types of jewelry that is mekabel tuma is only the ones that are worn directly on the person, meaning like the rings of a hand. But over here, if we're talking about some sort of ring for a belt or for suspenders, that's not mekabel tuma. V'lo amr tamei ela al shel esba bavad. And the Braisa says, the only rings that are going to be mekabel tuma is the ones worn on the finger. Again, we go back to Rashi's drush on the Amud Aleph. So you see there are differences between rings. So ki kamerle iu nami de etzba kamerle. So the Gemara says, no. Rabbi Elazar just says that when it comes to the rings on fingers, so they're all the same. So Udes Badabadacha. See, the Gemara says not even that's not true. But tonight we have another Mishnah. Tabasha Matechas Vechosma Shalamok Tmeahi. Shalamok Vechosma Shalamatechas Tahora. If you have the ring. Now the ring's fundamental construction, the base construction of the ring is made out of metal, even though the seal of the ring is made out of wood, but the ring is fundamentally metal, and therefore Makabel Tumo. If the ring at its base is wood, and only the signet, the seal of the ring is made out of metal, so that is fundamentally a wooden ring, and that's not Makabel Tumo, it's Tahara. So you see, even by rings that are worn on hands of a person, there are distinctions. So ki kamerle iu nami kula shoma teches kamerle. So he says, no, he was talking about metal rings worn on the hand. So I know it's a funny sentence, but as long as we're assuming that it's a metal ring that's worn on the hand of a person, so then there's not going to be any distinctions in halacha between one type of ring and another type of ring. Okay, but obviously that's a lot of qualifiers in order to get to the point where there's not going to be a difference. Okay, and the final discussion of this morning is needles. And the connection is obvious. And the same student says to Rabbi Eliezer, and I heard that there's a difference between one type of needle and another type of needle. So Amalei Shem Elo Shabbat El Alin Yin Shabbos. Oh, he says that has to be a Shabbos halacha. Dealing in Tuma David Achasi. Because when it comes to a needle being Mekabel Tuma, it is a Kli, and so it's always going to be Mekabel Tuma. So I can't think of a distinction. The distinction must be made within Hilchos Shabbos. The Gemara says, now what are you talking about? Is that true about Tanan? Now we are going over another Mishnah in Kalim. Machish and Itel Chudau Ksa Tahora. Then if I have a needle where the eye is taken out of the needle or the point is taken off the needle, it no longer is a functional machat and therefore it is not Mekabel Tuma. So Kikamar Le Bishlema. So the Gemara says, fine, you're right. But in other words, when I'm saying that all needles are the same, all needles that have its eyelet and have its point. So as long as it has the basic characteristics of a needle, they're all going to be the same. So the Gemara says, "Vishlema David Achasi Vatanan." The Gemara says, "Okay, but here's another mission in Kalim. Macha Shalta Chaludai Makiv Esatzvira Tahora V'im La Tmeya." Let's say you have a rusty needle. Now, if it's Makiv Esatzvira, the needle is so rusty that you can't sew with such a needle, so it's Tahora. It's not Mekabel Tuma. However, this rusty needle can still work as a needle, still functions, so it's Mekabel Tuma. Now, the Gemara over here makes a parenthetical point, Va'amri de Rav Yana v'hushi rishuma nikar. Now, that parenthetical point is just helping us understand this rusty needle. It has to be rishuma nikar, which literally means that impression has to be recognizable. Even as we translate it, it's hard to understand exactly what that means. Rashi offers two pshatim. Rashi's first pshat, v'hushi rishuma, shomacha nikar dehavi kli v'tmeya. It still has to be recognizable that it is a needle, even though it's so rusty. Then and only then is it Mekabel Tuma. That's one pshat in Rashi. Rashi offers another pshat, and that is that we're talking about where Rishuma Nikar is going to have it lose its status of being a needle and not Mekabel Tuma. And Rashi's second pshat, Rishuma Shel Chaluda Nikar Bebegin, Hainu Ikuv Tfira Utahora. Let's say it's so rusty that as I'm stitching with this rusty needle, the rust gets on the garment. Under those circumstances, even though it functions as a needle, but because the rust now gets into the garment, no one's going to want to use it, and therefore it's not Mekabel Tuma. Okay, but either way, the basic idea over here is that Debei Rav Yana was just qualifying that Mishnah in Kalim. But the point is, however, is that even with needles, where it has its eyelet and it has its point, there are going to be differences between a rusty needle versus a non-rusty needle. So ki kamerle b'shifa kamerle. So the Gemara says, okay, but Rabbi Elazar is saying that as long as you have a metal needle with its eyelet, with its point, and it's not rusty, so then they're all going to be the same. Again, a lot of qualifiers before we get to the point, they're all the same. Uvishiva David Achasi. The Gemara still presses one more time on this issue. V'atanya, we learned in the Brisa, Macha bein nekuva bein eino nekuva, motu l'taltala b'shabas. The needle, whether it has an eyelet or whether it does not have an eyelet, one is allowed to move it on Shabbos, meaning it has the status of a kli. Now, as far as Nekuva is concerned, that only is going to make a distinction regarding Tuma. So the Gemara says, so what we see over here is that vis-a-vis Shabbos, there is not going to be a distinction between one needle and another needle. And so the statement to Rabbi Elazar, you must be talking about Tuma. No, we're talking even about Shabbos. So So Abaye explains that what we could be describing over here is that the needle wasn't even a finished product, meaning it was just simply a thin piece of metal, which could be used from a functioning standpoint, like a needle. Obviously, if it's a thin piece of metal, it doesn't have an eyelet in it. But the point is that you could still use it, let's say, to take out a splinter. So it has the function of a needle, but because it's gami, but because it's a raw piece of metal, so therefore it's going to have the status of muksa, and one cannot move it on Shabbos. And so under those circumstances, it would there would be a distinction in such a needle. Okay, adkan. It gets us to the Mishnah, and that's where we're going to conclude today. Let's quickly recap our daf. Our daf today spent a lot of time discussing, again, the topic of Shmiras Seira, where I'm putting something on the animal which is more than what the animal needs in terms of Shmira. And does that now fall under the category of still being a Shomer, which the animal can go out with on Shabbos, or is that now considered a Masri? So this discussion, the Gemara started off yesterday's daf and continued well into today's daf, and the Gemara ends off with a Machlokas. Machlokas Tanayim between Tanakam and Rabbi Hananya. Machlokas Amarayim between Rav and Shmuel. And the Gemara's conclusion is that according to Shmuel, Shmira Sera is still going to be considered a Shmira. Next topic of discussion we had today was that when the collar is tied around the neck of the animal, does there have to be material hanging down from this collar that can pull on it? Or is it sufficient if it's just simply wrapped around the neck of the animal? And the Gemara told us that Rav Huna and Rabbi Yehuda Anasi all were of the opinion that kruchim would be fine, that even if it's wrapped around the neck of the animal, that would be sufficient. The ring of the animal can be toveled in the mikvah, or if necessary, the hazah can be done on the ring of the animal, even while still affixed to the animal. Two basic issues we dealt with in today's daf. One, how is that ring mekabel tuma? It's not tabas adam, it's tabas behema. And as a basic rule in terms of rings, the only ring that's susceptible to tuma is only a ring worn by a person, not by an animal. So the Gemara gave two answers to that question. Chatzitza, if I'm dunking the animal in the water with the ring attached around its neck, isn't that going to impede the water from making contact with all surface areas? The Gemara gave two answers to that question as well. And finally, the end of the daf today, we went over the dialogue between the Talmud and Rabbi Eliezer, where the Talmud asks Rabbi Eliezer, I heard of some sort of distinction between rings. And the follow-up, I heard some sort of distinction between needles. And then Rabbi Eliezer saying, oh, it must be that you're talking about Tumah, because you can't be talking about Shabbos. By Shabbos, there's no distinction. Sorry, other way around. Rabbi Eliezer's answer is that you must be talking about Shabbos, because when it comes to Tumah, Davida Chadihi, by Tumah, it's all the same. And then the Gemara had to qualify what he meant, that by Tumah, it's all the same, both by rings and also by needles.